Hey y'all, I'm Reese, and welcome to Making Meaning. Making Meaning is a podcast by the Cohere Collective, here to help guide you along your path to make meaning in a way that makes sense for you. This week, I am not joined by any guest. It will be just you and I looking back at season two and reflecting on this wonderful season and looking forward to the future and all that season three holds. Before we get started, if this is your first time here, thank you so much for being here. I am so thankful that you stumbled upon my little corner of the internet, Cohere's little corner of the internet, and I'm really glad you're here. Please subscribe wherever you are listening or watching, whether that be the Cohere Collective's YouTube channel, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, any of the numerous places you could have found us. And for old and new listeners, please give this video a like or a 5-star rating and leave us a comment or a review. Towards the end of these seasons, but especially in this last episode, one of the biggest things that I like to do is really think about what went well, what worked, and what didn't. And inherently, with any media creation, that involves you. And I want you to be an engaged and active part of that process so that I can make sure I'm doing my job of creating something that you're excited to be a part of. So let me know. I also, for this last episode, have a listener shout out that I am so excited to share. Tina, a listener, commented on last week's episode with functional medicine health coach Chris Buchanan. Great information. So many of us are and were on the hamster wheel. If you have not yet listened to last week's episode, health coach Chris Buchanan and I discuss a lot about the Western model of success and the consequences that that can have for all of us. So, Tina, thank you so much for reminding us of that really important takeaway that Chris was able to share with us, and thank you for being a part of the collective. Real quick before we get started, I also want to throw out there that there are some very exciting developments over at thecoherecollective.com. We are now offering services. If you are a small business owner, a small content creator, or an individual looking to make any of those things or your life more meaningful, go check it out. Everything else that I would like to share, I think we're going to do in the main portion of the episode. So that is all I have for the intro. So as always, let's take a deep breath. And get started. Ooh, we are here. End of season two. Season three is on the horizon, and we will be taking a little bit of a break in between now and then, but I am so excited to continue this process, this journey with each of you. I want to start the main portion of this podcast with something really profound that happened to me last night. So this last weekend, one of my very dear friends, it was her birthday, and so we had several very lovely celebrations and things to do to get to spend some time together. We went to a Bleachers concert. If you're a fan of Bleachers, let me know your favorite song of theirs down in the comments. Mine right now is probably Everybody's Lost Somebody, if I had to pick. But yeah, let me know if you're a Bleachers fan what your favorite Bleachers song is. But we were at the Bleachers concert, and I always find concerts to be really powerful for me, for one, just because it is an intense moment of communal revelry. It feels hedonistic and deeply spiritual. It feels divine to hear this music speak to your soul, but also so profoundly human to be sweaty and dancing and banging up against other people and to throw a friend on top of your shoulders. It just truly is a really interesting combination of all of the beautiful parts of humanity, at least to me. So I always love experiencing that unity that I find at concerts. But frontman of Bleachers, Jack Antonoff, stopped the concert midway through, and in the midst of this joy and revelry that I was feeling, he stopped the concert to kind of talk to the crowd. And a lot of artists do this. They stop their music and, you know, have a moment where they want to talk to the audience. And sometimes I feel like it's a little overdone, maybe a little disingenuous, but this time felt really important. It was so deeply impactful to me. So Jack started talking to the audience and he just said, "The keyboard that's here on stage next to me that he's playing sometimes, his bandmates are playing sometimes, it's where he's written all of their music. All of the music he's ever written as an artist has started on that keyboard." And the first time he felt like he was going to do something big, he had tapped out a little melody on that keyboard, had a few words pop into his mind, and he knew. He knew it was something important. It was something profound. And so he just put it out into the universe and opened himself up to it and said, I don't know what this is, but I'm putting it out there. And he said it wasn't immediate, took several years, and now we are all singing that song at the top of our lungs in this collective moment of joy. And so then he called everyone in the audience to put whatever inner desire they had out there too. Whatever felt big to them, whatever felt momentous to them, whatever felt profound to them, put it out there, put it out into the universe. And who knows if it's going to come back to you or not, but that's not the point. The point is that you're doing it because it matters to you, even if it doesn't matter to anyone else. It's important. And man, what a reminder that was for me. Anyone who knows me knows I'm a crier, but at that moment, tears just streaming down my face. Of course, concerts usually have that effect on me. Movies do too. Anything that's kind of like that, an intense emotional experience will inevitably make me emotional. But hearing that, I was exhausted before going to that concert. I was hot. I was sweaty. But in that moment, I knew why I was there. I knew why I was supposed to be there, and it was to hear that reminder. Now we're back here talking about the podcast. This podcast for me, if nothing else, is doing just that. Putting stuff out there that I think is important, that I think is profound. And even if it matters to no one else, it matters to me. And I think, no, I don't think, I know that more people need to be doing that. That if more of us did do that, the world would be a better place. And I think that takes a deep act of courage. That's not me trying to toot my own horn. That's me trying to be vulnerable with you and saying how hard it is for me to be honest with a camera and a mic on and then sit down and watch my face and listen to my voice and edit it, knowing I'm saying imperfect things. I'm doing imperfect things. I'm inevitably going to stumble and fall and fuck up. And yet, communicating my message of the importance of living a meaningful life and helping others do the same means more than any of that. Than me being afraid to look stupid, me being afraid to be criticized or judged or say the wrong thing. If you had listened to some of my previous bonus episodes that were solo episodes, you'll know that I've kind of been on this journey of self-acceptance. And instead of rejecting fear, embracing fear as a necessary part of the self-discovery journey. And I think this here today, kind of spurred by that moment last night, is another step along that path for me. My whole life, I have been deeply afraid of doing anything that could ever make someone else not feel, not even the same, but better. I never want anyone to leave any interaction with me, whether that be a barista at a coffee shop, you listening to this podcast, my best friends when we go to dinner. I want everyone to leave those moments feeling better, brighter, lifted, deeper, fuller, accepted. And I think in holding such an impossible expectation for myself, I don't do a very good job of that a lot of the time. But I think even more than that, and maybe this is the important lesson that is so hard for me to say, not only to myself, but to you, someone that I want to see me as a really good person, that means I don't let myself feel better, whole, accepted, loved, because I'm never doing enough, ever. Because it's impossible to make everyone feel that way, right? So I think today, the last episode of season 2 of Something I Love Dearly, is the next step in a revolution of self-love. And while that may seem easy for a lot of us, to me, it is a radical act in a world that tells me that that makes me not good enough. If you have ever struggled with that, join me in this. And I really wanted to start the podcast here, one, to give you some insight into where I am in my making meaning journey, but to also set up this paradox that I think you're going to see in the podcast and also Cohere's other work moving forward. And the paradox is both, it's kind of settled in really caring what other people think while also not caring what other people think, and being deeply service-oriented and also really needing to prioritize self. And these things seem counterintuitive to each other, as though they don't intertwine, but like so many things on this podcast that we like to discuss are, I think that that's where the golden nugget of that is. In saying, it doesn't matter if anyone listens to this, I'm still going to do it because it's important, and I'm just going to throw it out there and see what happens, there is a certain amount of, it's important to me, and my mission is worthy of time, effort, and attention, and that is self-care. That is a deep act, a radical act of self-love for me to sit down and say, no, my dream is worth my energy, but also your energy, that I believe it's worth your time to sit here and listen to me. And yet, I also view this work as service. I want this to be something that is, one, co-created between us, but also something that helps people feel seen, heard, and live more in alignment with themselves so they can find more fulfillment and enjoyment at the end of the day and at the end of their life. And to me, that's also the most deeply important aspect of life that we all must be focusing on. And so it's both of these things, right? That I have to think that my dream is worthy of all of these things. But a huge part of my dream is also believing that your dream is worthy of that too. And I do think we can have both of those things. I think you'll see this kind of come through in some of the content that the Cohere Collective will be coming out with shortly. I'm really, really excited for this next phase of my life, for this next phase of the Cohere Collective, and for whatever phase you feel like you're stepping into. Before we dive too much into what the future has to hold, I do want to take a moment to look back on season 2 with you all and the beautiful lessons we've learned, the wonderful things we've discussed, and the stories that we've gotten to hear. The very first episode of season 2, I was interviewed by a past guest of the podcast and a dear friend of mine, Sophie Alford. And Sophie is one of those people that makes you want to be a better person. And so it was just such a joy for her to be interested in doing this at all for me, with me, for herself, together. And it was also such a joy to be able to reflect on some of the things that she asked me. We talked a lot about childhood influences and why I was the way I was and why the podcast kind of came about. And I think that was a really beautiful way to start this season. The very first episode of Making Meaning is just me sitting down by myself talking about kind of the questions that I ask our guests every single episode. And of course, those answers will always continue to evolve and change for me, but yes, also all the guests you hear and for you too, of course. And so I think it was a really neat transition moment for season two's first episode to be a similar theme, but with a slightly different take of me being interviewed and someone else asking me the questions. I'm not getting to frame it in my point of view. It's framed in someone else's point of view. And that's a really great way to uncover new meaning, is seeing yourself through someone else's eyes. So thank you, Sophie, for being a part of that really wonderful entrance into season two and setting up my relationship to the podcast really beautifully as well. We then went on to talk a little bit about AI and the metaphysics behind that, which even from that episode to now, the culture around AI has changed drastically. Culture is not the right word. The industry, thought leaders, technology has changed drastically. The Apple Vision Pro has come out. More sophisticated chatbots have come out. All sorts of things. And this episode was so important to me because, one, I got to sit down with a dear friend of mine, Eli, who was wonderful to spend time with. But also, I think it's so important that when we're discussing making meaning, we're not doing so in a vacuum. Yes, I want to talk about economic, social, and political ripples, but that also is impacted through technological advancements, scientific advancements, advancements in science, in medicine, in research. And I think that when we're doing self-improvement and when we're doing philosophy, it can get really heady and not applied. And AI is something that is forcing us to apply these principles in real time. We can talk about ethics. What are we going to do when there is a question of when an artificial intelligence gains consciousness? Like, that's a real question that we're asking now. And we're going to have to come up with some working definition of intelligence, of consciousness, of brain power, of all of these things, which is really exciting and also terrifying, but all of the best things are a combination of those. So I think this will be a really interesting, like, archaeological find one day, if I can say that, but as an episode, that this is what people were thinking about as AI was taking over. I also want to share with y'all a quote that I heard. I'm going to absolutely butcher it, and I forget the name of the woman who said it. I will write it out in the description down below. But it goes something like, I want AI to do my laundry and dishes so that I can do art and writing. I don't want AI to do my art and writing so that I can do my laundry and dishes. And I just found that, one, just so apt, right? I think we all can concur with that. So how do we become active participants in the evolution of the world that is happening around us in real time? We must be active in it. If we don't make up our minds, the world will for us. And I think that this is a really great way that we can not only practice these things, but live them in real time. The next episode was with my lovely mother, Paige Brown, and I've really loved doing episodes with my friends and family, just because while you learn things about people in just from having known them for so long, to actually hear your mom say her story in her own words, it's like, of course you know your mom's story, right? Like, we all know our mom's story, but do we? And to be able to hear her say it in her own words and not through the framework of my grandparents or my dad, but how she would frame it for an audience to hear, taught me so much about her and has done with my dad and with all of my lovely friends that have been on as well. I'm hearing things that I've heard a million times before in a new light, because I'm not only hearing it in their words, but I'm also hearing it in how they are preparing to be perceived. And I think that more than anything, those episodes have been a really interesting case study on public versus private persona and personhood, and both the excitement and fear of being perceived. We all want to be seen as really, really good people. I knew that my mom was a curious woman, a determined woman, a cycle breaker, I can't say enough wonderful adjectives about my mom, but the older I get, the more I see our paths as mirrors to each other. And I think the more important I view that. Not that we aren't living our own journeys, because of course we are, but I think that there is something really special about the divine feminine relationship between a mother and a daughter, and being able to witness my mother's journey and then see her describe it in a public space just reminded me of the strength of women, of femininity, of womanly community, and of like the awesome goddesses that are within us all. And I hope you felt that too. The next episode was with a dear friend of mine, Kelly Castle, the professional astrologer. Kelly and I weren't friends when we first made this episode. Not that we weren't friends, that sounds bad. We had only met once before we made this episode. And since then, we have become very dear friends and partners on an event that is called the Thinkers Meetup. More than anything, I think Kelly's friendship to me has been one of the most beautiful things that has come out of this podcast. I am amazed time and time again at making this podcast, wanting it to be something for the world, and just seeing how much it gives back to me tenfold. So the Thinkers Meetup is a beautiful event that Kelly first came up with because she found herself having really deep, important conversations, but sporadically and randomly lucking into them, and really wanting to create a place for people to be able to go to seek out deep, important, meaningful conversations. And thus the Thinkers Meetup was born. I attended the first one as a guest because, of course, I was deeply interested in having meaningful conversations. And after that, she asked me if the Cohere Collective would like to partner with her on putting on these events. And I just jumped at the opportunity. Since then, Kelly and I have forged a friendship over shared trust, mutual respect, and like-mindedness that is truly so special to me. And they say that the friends you make in your 20s and 30s are the ones that will stick with you, but Kelly's friendship truly does make me believe that that is true. Also, getting to know her and listen during this episode taught me so much more about astrology. Of course, as a tarot reader myself and as someone who is very interested in all things metaphysical, I was just fascinated by her level of expertise. She is not just an astrologer, but she is a profound divine coach on learning how to harness your strengths. And any session with her is just so empowering. And getting to know more about the cosmos and how that impacts you as a person has been such a cool exercise, and I recommend it for anyone who is even slightly interested in that. The next episode was with my dear friend Hannah, and we talked about her life, the importance of positivity and productivity, and I think in this episode with Hannah, I was really blown away by the sacred simplicity of what Hannah had to offer. And that sounds like a backwards insult, but it is not what I mean at all. I think one of my downfalls as a person is that I tend to overanalyze, overcomplicate, overnuance, overthink all of these different things. And not to say that Hannah doesn't overanalyze and overthink. I think we both share those struggles. But the skills and strategies that she had developed to help herself work through those things were to the point and effective. And that's like what we all need, right? Is something to have in our tool belt to pull out and use, implement right then and there. That is what helps us in times of crisis, when we have a muscle memory thing that we can turn to make a difference in our lives. I'm stressed in the morning and I don't know what to do. Boom, here's my skill that I know I can pull out and it'll help me. So I was just, the way different people think in piecing those things together throughout episodes is so fascinating to me. But specifically with Hannah's, I then sat down with Beth Frampton, the creator of the Bone Dead Tarot, to talk more about tarot and her personally created deck. Beth is an artist and a tarot reader, and so of course the natural next step of that, the natural evolution, is creating her own tarot deck, and it is quite beautiful. And as someone who, as previously mentioned, reads tarot, it's a very special deck. It was so, I love hearing about expertise that other people have when I know nothing about the topic, but it's also so fun to talk about something that you love with someone else who loves that thing too. And of course, Beth is a professional tarot reader and I am not, so her level of expertise is much higher than mine. But it being something that I love very deeply and getting to share that with someone else who loved it deeply was just so joyous. It like made me giddy. But I also loved hearing her take on how tarot isn't necessarily divinatory. It is also perhaps predictory, but it inherently affirms choice and free will, which of course gets into a whole bunch of philosophical complications, but I've always found that aspect of tarot to be particularly appealing in that it's never saying this is exactly what's going to happen. It's saying here are your choices. And that's pretty empowering to me. And I loved talking with Beth about it. The next two episodes, I was able to sit down with the lovely ladies of the Resonance Wellness Collective, Dr. Layla Doolittle and Savvy Davidson. Dr. Layla is a functional medicine provider and does some really great work around keeping us spiritually, mentally, and physically well. And her sister Savvy is a Reiki healing practitioner. Reiki has long been something that I am fascinated by. Similar to astrology and tarot, it's another metaphysical practice that we don't have a lot of proof or science to back up, but, you know, I'll go back to the Arthur C. Clarke. Any sufficient science will be indistinguishable from magic. So these things that feel outlandish now, I think only feel that way because we don't yet have the right words to describe them. And it is just so cool to be able to sit down with people and talk about real magic that is happening every day. Next episode, I got to sit down with one of my middle school best friends, Reagan Potts. Reagan is such a special person to me, not just because we're middle school best friends, but just her story is one of resilience. Life the way she does with her openness and curiosity is so admirable to me. It's also always so powerful for me in getting to reconnect with people that you haven't talked to in a really long time. Being able to see where they're at, talk about things from your past, talk about the future. People who knew you way back when know you in a way that no one else ever will. They know you very specifically. And getting to see that and talk about that lends a very unique lens to who we are. And I think Reagan and I were able to provide that mirror to each other in this episode, which was just so fun to be reminded of a little childlike joy. Reagan also invited me to be on her podcast, which was, I keep using the word joy, but truly such a joy. She's a fabulous interviewer, and who doesn't like talking about themselves? But it was so fun to be able to go on and talk more about Cohere with her audience. And you should go check out Real Talk with Ray, wherever you get your podcasts. The next episode, I sat down with creativity expert Vincent Andrews. And this episode is another one of those episodes that I think bridges the gap between theoretical meaning and applied meaning really well. Creativity is such an amorphous topic, and to be able to apply it to school and education and the real work that people are doing is necessary and important. I think that that is the logical and, again, necessary next step in work like this, is not just being able to sit and talk about it. Yes, of course, I think that's important and I love doing it. Obviously, that's why I'm a podcast. But being able to apply the things that we learn to make people's lives better, that's the ticket. And not just other people's lives better, but our lives better and the future people's lives better. Then I sat down with past guest Nicole Adams for our very first Ouroboros episode. What is Ouroboros episodes, you might ask? Or Ouroboros, Ouroboros. I still don't know how to say it. I think different people say it differently. But this Ouroboros is the image of a snake eating its own tail in a little circle. And it translated literally means tail eating. This symbol is largely used throughout mythology and folklore to describe someone chasing their own tail, whether that be self-defeating or growth-oriented or cyclical patterns, whatever that could represent. I have long been obsessed with this concept of tail eating and the idea of cycles, and that was something that I really wanted to represent in the podcast, because it's a very real part of human evolution, our personal evolution through making meaning, and that is what I want the podcast to be, is real, and not only talk about these things, but mirror it as well. So in having old guests come back, we get to check in, see how they're doing, see how their meaning-making process has evolved, but the podcast itself mirrors the process that each of us go through every day, waking up and starting over, each year, starting over. Every time we make a new choice, take a new step in the right direction, and we begin again. There is a certain cycle to that, which can sometimes feel self-defeating, but I believe as we cycle, that that can cycle upward as well. So that was really cool to get to do that with Nicole. The next episode was with Jake Eagle. He is a meditation expert and coach, a mindfulness coach, and has his LPC, I believe. I know he's a licensed therapist, but he is also an author of The Power of Awe and a verb-centric language expert. This episode was one of the most mind-stretching for me, and what a joy it was to meet him and to talk with him. That episode truly was a paradigm shift for me in changing the way I engage with, yes, other people, but also myself and my own emotions, and recognizing the power that we have over ourselves that we so often give away to other people. The next episode was with trauma-informed personal trainer Rain Knox, who extremely vulnerably shared her life story. Gratitude doesn't even begin to describe the level with which being entrusted with sharing this story makes me feel. Everyone who comes on the podcast has a story to share and has chosen to do so through my platform, my medium. And the trust in me to do that appropriately, to contextualize it appropriately, and to share it with an audience that I've cultivated is not lost on me. It is deeply profound when someone entrusts their story to you. And the way we tell our story, the way we craft our narrative, is a part of the narrative itself. So that episode with Rain was emotionally difficult to hear and listen to, but I think also important, and again, is a wonderful example of why we need to be doing this work, not just logically or in our brains, but also in the real world, in how we're living. I then had another Ouroboros episode with my dear friend Maya, who, again, it's just always so cool to have these deep conversations with people that you see almost every day, but you don't talk about this stuff with them. And it's just a reminder of why don't we? We should be. And having these conversations just, oh, it's so important to me. And it's so valuable to be able to achieve a certain level of depth with your friends. This episode was also particularly difficult personally in discussing some of the ways in which the choices I make in my life are hard and difficult, and that moving from the logical practice of making meaning to the lived practice of making meaning is a challenging one. Who do we surround ourselves with? What are the habits we engage in? What are the practices that we engage in that are either supporting or detracting from the things that we say we believe, from the people that we want to be versus the people that we actually are? And I think that's a question we all grapple with, and that I know I grapple with every day. I think it's important that even though we fall short on those questions, and even though we will never live up to the idealized version of ourselves that we create in our minds, it's necessary that we are asking ourselves the tough questions of why are we falling short? Where are we falling short? And how can we move the needle in the right direction? I then got to sit down with author and life coach Shannon Talbot, and again, another example of some sacredly simple tools that can be so applicable. I really valued the vulnerability with which Shannon showed up. This is the first time that I'd had a conversation with a mom on the podcast about a really tough relationship with her kids. Of course, I had my mom on, and so our relationship is kind of put on display in that episode, but this is a different format in that me and Shannon aren't related, and that her kids have served up some really challenging lessons for her. And I just found her story and language around that to be really useful. I think so often our identities get lost in tasks, hobbies, careers, jobs, roles, especially as women. And there is something so innately us that cannot be changed or taken away, regardless of our career, regardless of our roles, regardless of our family, friends, location, whatever, that will still be us. And getting in tune with that piece of ourselves is it. And I think that's what Shannon's story teaches us. Next, I got to talk with Osprey Oriel Lake, another author, but also the co-founder of We Can, a feminist organization that does some really incredible climate change activism and this woman brings me a whole lot of hope for our future. We get to see through her book, but also her life work, the impact that the environment, the political scene, the social scene, and the economic scene all have in, on, and with each other. We cannot separate any of these topics from one another, and we cannot separate ourselves from them either. And being aware of how we are either implicitly, explicitly, knowingly, or unknowingly engaging in these things is important to minimally be aware of. But I do think that, as I've mentioned several times throughout this episode, taking the exercise of making meaning from a logical, mental one to a lived one is necessary and is such a big part of social justice work. And if we are not doing activist work with intention, with meaning, with education, and awareness and mindfulness of the part that we play in that broader spectrum of the world, it gets sticky in an already really sticky area. To do this kind of work in a productive way, we must be educated and informed. Period. And Osprey's work really reminded me of that and helped me be educated in that as well. And I just adore this episode. Next, I got to sit down with transformation coach Brooks Munn and talk a little bit about the intersection of neuroscience and religion. I've talked a little bit about my journey through deconstructing from Christianity and how my spirituality has developed and been a really important part of my life philosophy, my lived philosophy, the person I want to be. But I still really view religion as an important aspect of making meaning for whoever that is. And I want my work to be accessible no matter the worldview that someone comes from. I want to help them step towards their best, most favorite version of themselves, whatever that looks like for them. Again, we need to meet people where they're at. So often, I think a really big blockade to doing this work, whether that be in the social justice field or the self-improvement field, is the preconceived notions, the stories that we tell ourselves about other people, about what certain labels mean. And getting to talk to Brooks, who is very clearly a proud Christian, about his deep spirituality and belief in science, I think just examples the unique life stories that we all have and the reason why lived experience is so important and precious and why I love hearing those stories. Sure, I'm not going to agree with everyone just because they have a lot of lived experience, but getting to hear his take on why he identifies as a Christian and what that has meant for him as a scientist, as a life coach, as someone who believes in transformation, and not having to work with people who share his religion or spirituality or worldview. Again, just gave me so much hope for us as a group of people being able to find common ground, but also honor our differences and find not just tolerance, but acceptance and admiration there in the differences. That a road that someone else is walking is one that I'm not walking. And I think that it's important to carry that with us. The second to last episode of this season, the episode before this episode, I sat down with functional medicine health coach Chris Buchanan. And I mean, again, talk about a story of resilience. Turning pain into passion is, I think, one of the foundational reasons that people feel called to tell their story. We've all been through pain, we've all been through struggles, and we all want to be the best version of ourselves and help other people. I think fundamentally, I think those are things that being a human being comes with. And Chris has found a way to do that extremely profoundly. He went from having a brain tumor to being in the best shape of his life, to being a husband and a father, to helping other people heal themselves. I mean, it quite honestly leaves me speechless with the profundity of our capabilities as human beings. Each of these episodes taught me something new. Each of these people are such a blessing in my life, and I hope you feel the same way. Moving forward and looking at the upcoming season, of course, we are going to continue the tradition of every 2 weeks interviewing someone new on how they're making meaning in their life. But I want to continue pushing the boundaries. We will see a return of Ouroboros episodes. I've really enjoyed doing those, and I find that I always want to ask why and then why again and why one last time. And so I think, as an interviewer, season 3 is going to be where I try and up my game a little bit and bring you some even deeper conversations. At least that's my goal. Further, the more I grow, the more I find passion and purpose and importance in social justice, the more I feel that those concepts are tied to the way we make meaning. We're not going to be just focused on politics, social issues, but I do think a really big part of why philosophy is important is how that changes the way we live our daily lives. There is a genocide happening right now in Gaza, and there are other injustices happening all around the world. And if we're not living our daily lives ethically, we need to talk about that. We need to interrogate that. And I think Osprey Oriel Lake's episode is a really great example of how we can have these really nuanced and important conversations about the world around us that still inform us about what it means to be a human being. And those big questions impact the way we make meaning. They do, and need to be a part of the conversations we're having. Lastly, on wanting season 3 to continue pushing us all forward in our own meaning journeys, I want it to be a place where I continue to hold myself accountable to my personal making meaning journey, to the person that I want to be, to the things that I want to speak up for, to the things that I want to stand for, to what Rhys, as her highest self, most favorite self, would do. And that means being more vulnerable, doing the things that make me scared, opening up with you all, and encouraging you to do the same. There's that old quote, if your dreams don't scare you, they aren't big enough. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but I do think if there's something that scares you, you should do it. Each and every one of us is so beyond lucky to be here in this moment together, talking, reflecting, thinking, feeling. This moment is such a beautiful gift, and I want you to know, every single person listening to this, you are the best of us. You are important. And whatever dream you have that may scare you is important. It scares me every day to be doing this, to be stating opinions and putting my face out online, to be banking on my passion working. But I know the day that it doesn't scare me is the day that I'm no longer pushing myself. It's the day that I'm letting myself be complacent with where I am. And I hope that day doesn't come for me or for you. Thank you for being a part of our world. I am so excited for season 3, and I will see you then. Thank you all so much for being here and for listening to the very last episode of season 2. There are some very exciting developments over at www.thecoherecollective.com. We have some services that we are now offering, and if you would like to check it out, I would love for you to. So head on over. It'll be linked in the description. Please also follow the Cohere Collective wherever you have social media, all at the Cohere Collective. Instagram is our main social media platform, but there is stuff everywhere. If you would like to, you can follow me on Instagram at Lillian Reese Brown. Making Meanings art and podcast cover was created by Nicole O. Stryker, and you can find her on Instagram at Nicole O. Creates and Nicole O. Design. Making Meanings theme music was created by Tristan Morgan, and you can find him on Instagram at Tristan Morgan. Right now, I am feeling at peace. Season 2 in the books, season 3 on the horizon. Thank you so much for being here, and I hope you feel like you are living more coherently. Until next time, love.